Well, good morning, everybody. For those of you, I just want to echo what JC said. If this is your first time with us, we hope you feel right at home, and we hope you have a great, great Sunday with us. For those of you who are listening on the podcast or watching the live stream, my name is Anthony, and I'm a member of the speaking team here at Hoboken Grace. For those of you who do know me, know we just did not skip the message and go straight to announcements. I'm actually going to be leading you in today's conversation. I'm very, very excited about this opportunity. We're in the middle of this series called The Ladder, Faith in the Workplace. It's a crazy thing that we spend so much of our week. And last week, JC and Jason kicked us off and walked us through this really, painted this beautiful picture of what work is. They started talking about how God is love, and because He loved, He created us. And one of the ways that we create and that we love and we reflect Him is being in the workplace. And, you know, we hear that God Himself worked. I mean, we talked about it in Genesis, how He Himself worked, and then He rested in Genesis chapter 2. And one of the very first tasks, one of the first things that He does is give us human beings a task, a job. It's one of the very first verbs in the Bible, so we know how important work is. We also know sometimes how hard it is to love at work. And I want to introduce today's conversation by asking you all a question. How many of you have ever worked with a difficult person? Show of hands. Awesome. Here's another question. How many of you have ever been the difficult person to work with? Show of hands. Awesome. First-time guests, avoid these people. But they're everywhere. Difficult people. They're on the cubicle next to us. They're down the hallway. They're at the water cooler. Now listen, I obviously don't know everybody's work environment, but I do believe that the right environment, the right people, and good things can happen. I also believe that people can bring out the worst in people. Now listen, you may be a stay-at-home parent. You may have been recently unemployed, or maybe you just don't have a job. This conversation is for you too, because these difficult, these toxic people, they don't just leave their poison in the cubicle. They're on the PTA. They're on the path. Some of you drove by them on the way here. Some of you walked in with them. Some of you were sitting next to them. Don't point. So today we're talking about asking the question, how do I stand it here? How do I work with these difficult people? I mean, in these people, I'm not talking about just people who had a bad day. We all have a bad day. I'm not talking about people who get into arguments. We all get into arguments. I'm not even talking about people who are, you know, say things that are harsh. We've all done that from time to time. I am talking about these people that are always difficult. They're always toxic. They're difficult to work with. They're offensive. They're pains in the tuchus. They suck the life right out of you. You're exhausted by the time you're done dealing with them. I'm exhausted talking about them right now. They are difficult all the time. They steal your joy. So what do? Quit? I know some people who have. I know some people of where it's gotten so difficult that they've actually left their current position rather than get the toxic on themselves and they become toxic people, that they need to leave the workplace. Now, some of you know I am an actor, but like most actors, we do need to hold down some other side of job. So I've been working in the last 6 years, I've been working at an office of admissions at a college in New York City, and it's an acting college. And I like to think that the drama is kept on stage and with the students, but sometimes it happens backstage in the office as well, too. And I want to share you a particular story about one of my old bosses. Now, his story might be kind of similar to some of you. He became the director of admissions, not because he had the most credentials or because he was the most fit for the job. He became the boss by the mere fact that he had been there the longest. He just kind of fell into that position. And as a result, he became entitled. And one of the ways he decided that he was going to use his entitlement was when we traveled. Now, as you can imagine, working at a college, you have to do a lot of recruitment. You have to go out there and try to find students. And that involves traveling, that involves going out on the road, that involves expense reports and company cards and all this. And he figured out that, you know, as the director, when he spends something, his expense report goes to the CEO, and then the CEO sends it off to business, to the business office after it is approved. But for me, one of his employees, he approves my expense report, and then it goes off to the business office. So it got to be where he started to travel with me, and he wanted to put everything on my company card. Expensive dinners, lavish nights out drinking, even the occasional gentleman's club. He would take my card and go to town. And then on Monday morning, he would come back and tell me exactly what to categorize these expenses as so that he could send it off to accounting for review. Now, you might be saying, well, isn't that illegal? Well, yeah, but I was stuck. I had just got out of grad school. I needed this job. I needed to pay rent. I needed a way to earn a living. I felt stuck. I didn't know what to do. So much like you, if you're saying to yourself, well, Anthony, I can't quit. I have a family. I have a mortgage. I actually like the work that I do. So what do we do? Seriously, what do we do? The next part was just going to be Q&A. Nobody? Well, obviously, I had no idea what to do. I was kind of frustrated. I didn't know where to go. And even preparing this message, I had to figure out, well, who has dealt with a lot of difficult people? We all have dealt with a lot of difficult people. Maybe when I was telling the story about my boss, somebody came to mind. So I went to the Bible, and I realized that in the Bible, there's all of these stories about people dealing with difficult people. And specifically, I want to take you into this one story in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Now, Peter is writing to those who are currently suffering persecution, all right? These people are surrounded by toxic and difficult people. And it says, finally, all of you be like-minded. Be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. You see that there it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. This is saying we have a choice. Just as the toxic people choose their behavior, we can then choose to love this person, when all we want to do is the opposite. Last week, JC and Jason were talking about how important it is that we show glimpses of the kingdom in our workplace. That we have the opportunity to be those glimpses of God's kingdom in the workplace. Choosing to love these difficult people is one of the ways we can show those glimpses. Now listen, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I really want to bring about a positive change in my negative relationships at work? Do I really want to bring about a positive change in my relationships at work? If so, you must be willing to change first. Wait a minute, Anthony. Wait. Are you saying that it's my fault that these people are toxic and difficult? No. But I'm saying you have the power to change the relationship. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this, right? About what we were supposed to do in going out into the workplace. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The people who are difficult, the people who are toxic, are not keeping you from your mission. They are part of the mission. Those glimpses of the kingdom, those who we're supposed to show it to. You are the salt of the earth and light of the world. We're not supposed to sit idly by. We're supposed to go out into the world and change things. We can't wait for the world to change. This isn't a John Mayer song. We have to go out and change things. And one of the ways we do that is becoming salt and light. Salt and light change things. You add salt to meat, it's going to change the meat's texture, the meat's flavor, the meat's shelf life. Trust me, I know meat. If I say something about meat, you can take that to the bank. Salt changes things. You add salt to a snow-covered road, it's going to change things. And salt, I mean, it's talked about all the time in the Bible because salt was so precious back in the day. It was used as, there's salt covenants, they sprinkled sacrifices with salt. They used to purchase salt. It was used as currency. It was so important. It was used as symbols of peace and wisdom. This is amazing. Wait for this. So here's something crazy. The English word salary comes from the Latin salarium, which is the root word in salary, and originally meant soldier's allowance for the purchase of salt. If you are on salary at your current job, you're there to earn your salt. You heard that saying? You're worth your salt. You're worth your weight in salt. You are supposed to be the salt in the workplace by earning your salt. Mind blown. You're welcome. Light too, right? Light changes things. There's never been a time in the history of the world where you haven't gotten to a dark room, you turn on the light, boom, that room is forever changed. Salt and light change things. So if we're called to be the salt and the light in the workplace, how do we do it? Great question. I'm going to give you three practical steps that I think that if we put into practice, we can begin to change those negative relationships at work. That we can begin to plant the seeds and to start showing those glimpses of the kingdom. Number one, is something that I love, something that I believe always changes the dynamic of a relationship. Humor, or diffusing a tense situation. Humor, I believe, used at the right time, at the right place, has a way of diffusing the situation so that people can step back and actually come to a conclusion together. The key is to throw water, not fuel, on the fire. I mean, the Bible talks about it in Proverbs 15:13. It says, a happy heart makes a face cheerful. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. You know, my CFO, we had this travel meeting recently, and we kept putting our travel budget up for the year. And every time we sent him our travel budget, he kept sending it back to me and going, smaller, smaller. And, you know, I would rework it, and I sent it back out to him, and he goes, no, it has to be smaller and smaller and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I got so fed up, I took the travel budget, I took it over to the copy machine, I reduced it to about 2 inches in size, I took it over to his desk, I slammed it on his desk, and I said, it's about as small as I can make it. And he said, you know, Anthony, I think we can work with this as soon as I found a magnifying glass. That boss that I was talking about, that old boss that I was talking about, he used to ride us. We couldn't go to lunch without letting him know. We couldn't make phone calls, personal phone calls. I felt like we had to tell him every time we were going to the bathroom. He always wanted to know everything that we were doing, every time we were doing. Well, one day I needed to get a haircut, believe it or not. And I decided that, you know, well, it's not going to take long, clearly. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to do it real quick, and I'm going to come back. And sure enough, there he is, standing there, waiting for me, going, where were you? I said, well, I went to go get a haircut. He goes, why? And I said, well, I saw that my hair was starting to quit, so I fired it. He laughed, thank goodness, and let me go on my merry way. Humor has a way of changing the relationship. Well, you might be saying, well, Anthony, you're a funny guy. Well, thank you. But I'm not a funny person. I don't know how to be funny. I was like, well, you don't have to be funny. See, I'm kind of a nerd. I'm kind of a Shakespeare nerd. I got my master's in Shakespeare. And there's two different definitions of humor. There's humor, which is funny, ha-ha. And then there's a person's humor, which means a person's characteristic, disposition, or temperament. Change their humor. Why does a parent make a funny face when their kid just fell and scraped their knee? Trying to change the situation, diffuse the situation. Why does a restaurant manager come out and comp a person's meal or give them a free dessert when they've had a bad experience? They're trying to change their situation. That's what we were talking about last week, about creating. We are called to create in the workplace. Not only that, we're supposed to create the situations that help to diffuse those situations by creating humor. Number two, take them to lunch. Well, now you're out of your mind, Anthony. Now you are crazy. There is no way I am taking that toxic and difficult person to lunch. I'm leaving. No, no, no. Just listen to me. I might be crazy. But another says, see things from their perspective. Think about it. A difficult person has to act that way for some reason. Why? Why are they acting that way? Ask yourself this question. Will I allow their outward actions to cloud my ability to see their inward need? Will I allow their outward actions to cloud my ability to see their inward need? People are people, right? We all respond to the same things. Care, appreciation, respect. Humble yourself for a moment and believe that that person, assume that you're wrong. Assume that that person acts a certain way, not because they just want to be nasty, but for some reason. My old boss, I found out the reason why he was constantly seeking approval and felt the need to prove himself was because he wasn't getting it at home. He wasn't getting it from his wife. He wasn't getting it from his kid when he was being raised. He wasn't getting it from his mom and his dad. So as a boss now, he can actually buy people's approval. He could actually force approval on himself by ruling the way that he did. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anything about that until I took him to lunch. Now, Jesus had a way of doing that a lot. Jesus had a way of telling people to look at all angles of things. Jesus had a way of turning people's perceptions on God, about religion, about people. Jesus himself had lunch with undesirables. In Mark 2, it talks about him going to dinner with tax collectors and sinners, people that nobody wanted to have lunch or dinner with. And people are asking him, Jesus, why are you doing this? And Jesus is like, well, it's not the healthy that need a doctor, it's the sick. Betty Lou, the woman in the office who brings everybody cookies and has about 2,000 Facebook friends, may not need that lunch more than Jay, who sits in the corner and has a bad attitude all the time, doesn't have any friends, shows up to work, leaves, and does his thing. Imagine how that might change their disposition if you go, hey, Jay, you want to go get a cup of coffee? And learn why they are the way that they are. This might be one of the most difficult things to grasp in today's message. I completely understand that. One of the most hardest things to understand, but we have to believe. One of my favorite guys from the 20th century, an entertainer, his name is Will Rogers. In the 20s and 30s, he was probably one of the most famous guys on the planet. He was a cowboy, he was an actor, he was a satirist, he was a politician. And he had this great quote that I want to share with you about looking at things from another perspective. He said, well, I met a whole lot of people in my lifetime. He said, I always tried to approach them the same way my ancestors would. You see, they always look back after they pass something so they can get a view of it from both sides. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people figure that all sides of the thing are automatically the same. But that's why you must never judge a man when you're facing him. You've got to go around behind him and look at what he's looking at, and then go back and face him, and you'll have a totally different idea of who he is. You'll be surprised at how much easier it is to get along with everybody. Want to change that negative relationship at work? Ask him for coffee. Ask him for lunch. See what happens and see if you can see things from their perspective. And number three, acknowledge your differences. Celebrate your differences. Use your differences. Tension works. The sun and the moon, like the day and the night. Magnets, they work like that. I don't know how, but they do. Tension works. Everybody has a different strength and weaknesses. Somebody's good at this, somebody's good at this, somebody's great at this. That difficult person, believe it or not, has strengths that you might be able to use. You're all forced to go to work together. you might as well work together. There are certain strengths and weaknesses that I have that other people don't have. Trust me, I have a weakness. If I'm called in for a dance call to audition, I'm not going to get the part. There are different strengths and weaknesses out there. People need to find out what those are. There's a woman in our office right now who's not the greatest face-to-face. We were having difficulty with her giving tours, and we were having difficulty with her college fairs and all that good stuff. But I'll tell you what, she is fantastic on the phone. People are just calling up to talk with her sometimes. So we put her on the phone, and she's making 70, 80 phone calls a day. She is fantastic on the phone. But we wouldn't know that until we started to realize where her strengths are. They're happier when they're using your strength. There was a guy who was an office manager. He literally was making, ordering office supplies. He was ordering things. He was not happy doing this. We found out that he was really, really good at software and programming. We stuck him in the IT department. He's a different person. He's happy. He's excited. He's smiling. We're like, look at that. Look at a person's strengths so that you can all come together, work together for a common good. You want to know a great example of all these different backgrounds coming together and making something awesome? The Avengers. Think about it. Think about it. You got the Hulk. You've got Hawkeye. You've got Black Widow. You've got Iron Man. You've got Thor. You've got Captain America. You got some big dude who gets angry all the time. You got some dude that throws a shield. You got some dude that throws a hammer. You got some dude that shoots an arrow. I mean, listen, I understand this, but they all came together, hello, howdy. They all came together to save the world. They all used their strengths to come together. Individually, they were strong, yes, but they were awesome when they came together. Learning to work with these difficult people, learning to do what these people ask. Remember what I said, these people are part of this mission. My old boss ended up hitting rock bottom. He ended up getting let go from the current position a while ago. It was turned out that he was actually battling addiction. He lost his wife, lost his kid, he lost his home. He had about a 2-week period there where he actually didn't have a place to live. His wife had kicked him out, and it was about a 2-week period until he was able to move into his apartment. You know what he did? He called me. He said, Anthony, I have nowhere to go. Do you have a couch or an extra bedroom? Huh? This is the guy for 4 years who made me feel terrible about myself. Every time I had an interaction with this guy, he made me feel awful. He made me dread going to work. He was stealing my joy. And now he wants to live on my couch? So what did I do? Okay. And he stayed with me for 2 weeks. And I got to be honest. During those 2 weeks, we laughed. We played board games. We watched terrible television. We made dinners. We became buds. We became friends. And now he's going to church. He's part of a small group. I can't even begin to fathom how this changed. In those 2 weeks, he got his own apartment. He's doing great now. He's working at a real estate firm. He's got his shared custody with his daughter. Him and his wife are talking again. Everything is on the up and up. I had no idea what God was doing. None. Now, I wasn't sitting there throwing a Bible at him, or I wasn't sitting there quoting anything for him. I just chose to love him, even though it was really, really difficult to love him. Let's go back to Matthew 5 for a second. In Matthew 5, 43 for 44, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It is impossible to start the same type of relationship, to keep the same type of relationship, if one or more of the parties changes his or her disposition. It doesn't take two people to change a negative relationship. It only takes one. Now listen, can I promise you that if you do all of these things, that person is going to change? Nope. But you're going to change. God created you. He is asking us to partner with Him, to help reflect Him in the workplace. We live in a broken world. Imperfect people act imperfectly, so don't be surprised. And I cannot expect people to change without Christ. But God can change somebody. Maybe, why not, let Him use you. I had no idea what I was doing with my old boss. I had no idea that that would happen. But let me tell you something. I am forever changed as a result of that. I had no idea what was going on. That this guy who made my life terrible for so long is now a good friend of mine. And God is asking us to do the same thing He did in creation, which is bring order to the chaos, which is love those around us. It's a huge reason of why we were created. And that includes loving the unlovable. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But we don't have to do this alone. God has said, ask for my help. Ask Him. Ask Him to give you the strength to walk across the room and ask that guy to lunch. Ask Him to give you the strength to do so. We don't have to do this alone. He wants to partner with us to do this. Trust me, I could not have done this alone. Express love. Realize that we are those glimpses of the kingdom. We can be those glimpses of the kingdom that we've been talking about. And even if you're not the boss, you have the power to change. Will you pray with me? God, sometimes loving the unlovable and loving those around us is not the easiest thing to do. We know that You have called us to love everybody, but sometimes it's so difficult. Sometimes it's so hard to be the salt and the light that You have asked us to be. Father, give us the strength, give us the wisdom, give us the power to come to You and say, I can't do this alone. God, You are so much bigger than the lovable and the unlovable. And if we can even remotely start to be the people in the workplace that show glimpses of Your kingdom, then that's more than we can ask. God, thank You for the opportunity to be where we are, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at the playground, whether it's at the grocery store, wherever we are. Help us to be those glimpses of the kingdom. We know this is going to be difficult, but nothing that seems to be worth it in life is not worth a little bit of difficulty and a whole lot of love. Thank You. Thank You for this opportunity. And help us to carry this out. In Jesus' name.